And now, My Little Margie, starring Gail Storm and Charles Farrell. When a man is executive vice president of Honeywell and Todd Investment Counselors, as Vern Albright is, he's glad to leave the running of his household to his daughter Margie. But being a businessman, Vern has always insisted that she do it in a businesslike way. And so at this moment, Margie finds herself surrounded by her account books, her ledgers, and her boyfriend, Freddie Wilson, as she faces her day of reckoning.
It's all right here, Freddie. Every bill, every statement, all the canceled checks, and my account books. Freddie, don't just sit there staring at it. Say something.
Wow. I don't see how you could have gotten your accounts in such a mess in only 1 year.
Freddie, these are the accounts for 1 month.
Gee. Margie,
Look,
thought that...
Don't worry about hurting my feelings. Let's just see if we can straighten this out a little before Dad gets home.
All right. Now, let's see what we got here. Household expenses, bills, charge accounts. Margie, I studied accounting for 4 years, and I never came across a bookkeeping system like yours. It's
screwy.
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, but Dad did, and he'll say it again. He'll say, I told you so. He'll start out by just being annoyed, but then he'll get angry. And when my father gets angry, he's really something.
I know.
He clears his throat and says, My dear Margie... My dear Margie, when he starts calling you dear, watch out.
Yep, the last time he called me my dear Mr. Wilson, he was throwing me out in the hall.
Well, his bark is worse than his bite. You know that, Freddie.
Not really. He's never bitten me yet. Say, Margie, you set up this bookkeeping system, so you ought to be able to understand it.
Well, I did when I first started it, but somewhere along the line, it sort of got away from me. I've checked my figures 10 times and got 10 different answers.
It's pretty discouraging.
Yes, it is. My deficit gets bigger every time. Oh, if I could only... Oh, there's Dad now.
Hello, honey. Oh, hello, Freddie.
Hi, Mr. Albright.
Well, it looks like you've been doing a little paperwork.
The household accounts.
Well, good. Do they balance up all right?
Well...
What's your balance, Margie?
This month you have a choice.
Huh?
Almost any figure you name, I've got.
Margie!
Oh, look, Dad, I know the books are in a mess, but Freddie's been helping me, and we'll
I don't see why he has to. You've done a pretty good job of messing them up by yourself.
Gosh, Mr. Albright, I was only trying to be helpful. Don't get sore at me.
All right, I'm not sore at you, Mr. Wilson.
Sure sounded like you were.
No, it didn't. He didn't say, my dear, Mr. Wilson.
All right, maybe if I showed Margie how to set up a bookkeeping system, she could stick to it. Uh-oh.
My dear Mr. Wilson.
Here we go, Margie.
Dad, I think you ought to be ashamed of the way you're picking on Freddie. He's only offered to help me do what you think is so very important.
If he's such a great bookkeeper, why isn't he working? I mean, this time.
Well, because he's got his pride. Couldn't go on working for a man who'd talk to him the way his last boss did.
Is that so? What did he say to you, Freddie?
Oh,
well, what'd he say?
Oh, it was nothing.
Oh, come on, Freddie. You've never even told me. What did he say?
He said, Wilson, you're fired.
I might have known. Now, Margie, if I couldn't teach you the value and importance of money, nobody ever will. I certainly started you off with your allowance early enough.
A little too early, as a matter of fact.
You could have gone to the store and bought anything you wanted.
No, I couldn't. I might have walked there all right. But all I could have said when I got there was,
Well, you haven't made much progress since then. Well, not as far as money is concerned, anyway.
No, I'm not going to stand here and listen to you another minute. You're just a...
Yes, what am I?
You're a father, that's what you are.
Oh, thanks, Phil. You won't regret it. Bye. Miss Sherman, send a messenger around to pick up Mr. Thompson's proxy for 500 votes.
Yes, sir.
And check his name off the list. Gee, I'm glad I got him before that Reynolds did.
We got some proxies in the mail, Mr. Albright. 2,300 to be exact.
Well, swell.
And some refusals, too.
Oh, Mr. Honeywell.
Well, how's it going, Albright?
Oh, pretty good. It'll be nip and tuck, but I think we'll have enough votes to weather the storm.
I hope so. If I get voted out as chairman of the board at tomorrow's meeting and we lose control of Amalgamated Chemical, we'll be the laughingstock of the financial district.
Well, it's not going to happen. Reynolds has bought up a lot of the stock and gotten a lot of proxies. But between the shares you and I own and the proxies we've gotten, we'll beat him.
We'd better. The dirty sneak. Pussyfooting around in the dark, trying to get control of Amalgamated. Of all the underhanded... That's the way I got control 10 years ago. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand me, Albright. What I did was good, shrewd business.
Excuse me, Mr. Albright, but our records show that 100 of your shares were transferred into your daughter Margie's name.
Say, that's right. I did it for her graduation. I figured that owning some stock would help her develop a business sense.
Ah, good idea. Does it work?
I doubt it. If I know Margie, she's probably used a certificate to cut out a dress pattern. But don't worry. I'll get a proxy tonight.
Well, you make sure you do. Every vote counts.
It's in the bag. Margie and I may have our little disagreements. When it comes to anything important, I have her eating right out of my hand.
Yeah? I've seen your daughter eat out of your hand in the past, all right, and there have been occasions when you should be thankful she didn't bite off your fingers.
Believe me, you're taking this whole thing much too seriously.
Oh, it's nice of you to say that, Mrs. Odette, but Dad is the one who's making a big issue of it, not me.
Well, you just let him blow off steam and don't argue with him the way you did last night. Why, I could hear you right across the hall in my apartment.
Gosh, I didn't think we were talking that loud.
Oh, well, Margie, the door was open.
It was? Hmm? I don't remember leaving our door open.
Oh, not yours. Mine.
Mrs. Odette?
Margie, are you going to try to run your house on a budget the way your father wants you to?
No, I suppose so. I'll have to figure out some system.
I remember when I was a little girl. My mother had her own budget.
How did she work it?
Well, my father would bring home his weekly pay, $20, and give it to my mother. She would put $3 into a coffee can for the rent, $4 into another coffee can for food, $1.50 in another coffee can for clothing, $1 into a coffee can for medical expenses, $1 in another coffee can for insurance, and into another coffee can she'd put $7 for incidentals.
What came under incidentals?
Coffee. We have to drink a lot of it to get all those cans. Anyway, my mother always said that... Oh, I wonder who that can be.
So do I. Come in.
Miss Albright?
Yes?
My name is Abner Reynolds. Here is my card.
Abner Reynolds, security.
1218 Center Street.
Miss Albright, according to the stockholder list, you are the owner of 100 shares of Amalgamated Chemical Company. Do you have the stock?
Amalgamated Chemical... Oh, that's the stock Dad gave me for a graduation present. Yes, I have it. It's in my high school annual, together with a program from the senior prom and Bill Kleinschmidt's varsity football letter.
Well, I've become interested in the company, and I should like to add to my holdings. To be brief, I want to buy it from you.
Gosh, I don't think I can sell it. Dad bought it for me to help me learn about the importance of handling money properly.
I'll tell you what. The stock is worth about $5 a share on the open market. I'll give you $6. You'll be making a profit of about $100.
Oh, I think you ought to take it, Margie. If you make $100, that's a wonderful way to show your father that you're learning how to handle money.
Oh, I know, but... excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Margie?
Yes, Dad?
Margie, you probably won't remember this, but I once gave you some stock.
Of course I do. Amalgamated Chemical, 100 shares. What about it?
I just want to make sure that it's safe. I want to have a look at it when I get home, okay?
All right.
That's my girl. Bye.
Goodbye. Well, my stock suddenly seems to have gotten very popular.
Miss Albright, I'll give you $7 a share.
No, thanks.
$7.50?
Oh, I think you ought to take it, Margie.
Yeah. It certainly would serve Dad right if I did, but I just promised him he could see it when he gets home tonight.
Well, then I guess you won't sell it to me.
Mr. Reynolds, what makes this stock so important all of a sudden?
I suppose your dad will tell you, so... I might as well. I'm trying to get control of the company away from his boss, Honeywell. And to do it, I need all the voting stock I can get.
And Dad?
Needs all he can get. It would have been interesting to be able to use your stock to help beat them, but I guess I'll have to do it without it. Goodbye, Miss Albright.
Goodbye. You know something, Miss Odette?
What?
I may not be a financial genius, but I may be able to teach my father something. Dad, I want to thank you for that terrific box of chocolate.
Sweets for the sweet.
And those roses are just out of this world.
Oh, it's nothing.
Nothing, he says. Why, they're beautiful. And I just don't know how to express my appreciation.
Oh, forget it, Margie. Let's change the subject and talk about something else.
All right. What do we talk about?
Oh, I don't know.
How about my stock?
Okay.
What about it?
Well, Margie, it's nothing at all, really. I'd just like you to sign this paper, which would enable me to cast your 100 votes at tomorrow's stockholders' meeting.
What's the meeting about, Dad?
Oh, nothing to bother your pretty little head about. Now, come on, sign this silly little paper and let's have dinner.
No.
What?
No. As a businesswoman, I wouldn't dream of letting anybody else vote my stock.
Well, I can still return those flowers.
Who cares? As a businesswoman, I'm not interested in such feminine nonsense.
I'll tell you what. As a businessman to a businesswoman, I'll make you an offer. I'll buy your stock.
For how much?
Well, because you're my daughter, I'll be very generous. $3 a share.
It's a good thing I'm not a stranger.
Margie, do you know the value of this stock on the open market?
Yes, $5 a share.
Well, then that's what I'll give you.
Thank you, but I've been offered $6 by a Mr. Reynolds.
Reynolds? Well, I'll give you $6.
I turned down $7.
I'll give you $8.
You know, I'd be tempted to take that if I weren't such a good businesswoman.
That does it. You didn't know a good thing when you had it, so you overplayed your hand. Your stock isn't that important. We can win the election without it.
Then you won't mind if I sell it to Mr. Reynolds.
You can sell it to anybody you like. I don't need it, so I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Hello?
Hello, Albright. Does she have the stock?
Yes, but she...
Listen to me, Albright. We've just finished tabulating the proxies. They're all in except Margie's, and Reynolds has exactly the same number of votes we have. Now, Margie's stock is the difference between winning and losing control of Amalgamated. We've got to have it.
I just told Margie I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
What's the matter, Dad?
I was wondering where I could find an 11-foot pole.
You've heard that a picture is worth 10,000 words, but do you realize that you are worth 10,000 pictures? For whatever you do reflects on America. Remember the meaning of the big lie? It is a lie that, when repeated over and over again enough times, people come to believe it. There's no use kidding anyone. The big lie has been spread about America and about the American people by our enemies. And it is up to all of us to disprove the things that are said. But talking or boasting cannot disprove anything. Only actions speak louder than words, and a good action is more articulate than any word ever invented. Margie, where we find Vern and Mr. Honeywell together in their offices. Vern is saying to his kindly old boss, Mr. Honeywell,
Let's check the figures again, Mr. Honeywell.
While you're at it, see if you can think of a way of getting that stock from Margie.
I wish I could. I was up all night trying to persuade her, but all I've got to show for it are these circles under my eyes.
Why didn't you try to bribe her? You should have offered a fur coat or something.
I did, at 6 in the morning, but she refused it.
Or a convertible.
Well, she turned that down at 4. She's just getting even because I insulted her business ability. Insult a woman and you pay for it.
Are you just finding that out? I always let him insult me. It's cheaper in the long run. All right.
Yes, Mr. Honeywell.
There's nothing in this situation to laugh about.
Well, I was only...
The stockholders' meeting is at 4 this afternoon. You've got to lend to get those votes from Margie, so you'd better start thinking.
Yes, sir.
a cent for me, Mr. Albright?
Hello, Freddy. I'm glad you came right over. Before Margie gets back, let me bring you up to date on the situation.
Oh, you don't have to. I know everything that's been happening.
Margie told you?
No, I met Mrs. Odette in the hall.
The good old town crier. Anyway, it's very important that I get Margie to give me that start. And I think I figured out a way for you to help me.
You have?
Yes, sir. Freddy, my boy.
Freddy, my boy. Gee, that sounds swell coming from you, Mr. Albright.
Well, that's the way I feel about you.
Remember when I used to be my dear Mr. Wilson?
Look, Freddy, here's the whole idea. Margie won't give me the stock simply because she knows I want it. It's sheer feminine contrariness.
Where do I come in?
Well, we get to switch contrariness from me to you. You agree with her that she's doing the right thing, and she'll just naturally disagree with you. Then she'll give you the stock, huh? Simple enough?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Albright. I'm afraid to try it.
Afraid?
Sure, when Margie's in that kind of mood, it's dangerous even to agree with her.
But you've got to help me. I need that stock, and you're my ace in the hole.
No, I don't think I'd better.
My dear Mr. Wilson!
Hey, anything you say.
Fine. Fine, Freddy, my boy.
Freddy.
Hi, Margie. I just dropped in to say hello.
I was telling Freddy about our little situation, Margie.
Oh?
And he disagrees with my viewpoint.
He does? Then how come I didn't meet him out in the hall?
Don't be silly, Margie. I like Freddy.
You must. Otherwise, you wouldn't have promoted him from Mr. Wilson.
From my dear Mr. Wilson.
Freddy, tell her how you feel about her attitude.
All right. Margie, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Well, what is everybody waiting around for? The roof to fall in?
But I agree with you.
I heard you.
And aren't you going to do anything about it?
Yeah. I'm going to broil those lamb chops. Dad may not consider me a good businesswoman, but evidently he likes the way I cook.
What happened?
Well, I guess we weren't convincing enough. She must have figured out that we were pulling a trick on her.
I knew it wouldn't work.
Well, it will. It has to. Now listen, Freddy. When she comes back, we'll have to put on an act that we're quarreling.
You and me?
Right. And we've got to make her believe it, so don't pull any punches.
I'll have those lamb chops ready in a few minutes.
Mr. Albright, I think your attitude is high-handed and inconsiderate. I agree with Margie.
And I think you have no more business sense than she has.
You think you can boss her around all her life, but you're nothing but a tyrant.
And you're an insolent young whippersnapper.
And you're a stubborn old goat.
Well.
I think it worked.
Freddy Wilson, if you think you can talk to my father that way, you're mistaken.
Huh?
I don't care whether or not you agree with me or I agree with him. You better show my father more respect. Now get out of here this minute.
Margie, please, let me explain.
My dear Mr. Wilson.
Oh, no, not you too.
Nervous.
Well, he agreed with you about the stock.
Oh, I ought to fix him.
Well, you can. Now, just let me have your stock and...
I will not. I'm going to that meeting and I'll vote that stock myself. Oh, the lamb chops. Oh, now you won't even think I'm a good cook.
I tell you, I've tried everything, Mr. Honeywell, but she's as stubborn as a mule.
Shh. Go ahead.
Well, did she get here yet?
I haven't. She's coming in now. And look at that, Albright. She's sitting down right next to our friend Reynolds.
Well, I can't believe that Margie would...
what I see. Well, we've got to get the meeting started. You might as well face the unpleasant facts. Remember this, Albright. I'm holding you personally responsible for whatever happens.
Well, I'll go and talk to Margie again.
Ladies and gentlemen, the meeting of the stockholders of the Amalgamated Chemical Company is hereby called to order. Now, unless there are objections, we shall proceed to the business of the day, the election of officers. Nominations are open for president.
I nominate Mr. George T. Honeywell.
Seconded.
I nominate Mr. Abner Reynolds.
Second.
Nominations closed. Votes, please.
I cast a block of 24,950 votes for Abner Reynolds.
And I cast 24,950 votes for George T. Honeywell.
Well, we have a tie with 100 votes still to be cast by Miss Margie Albright. Miss Albright?
Do you permit write-in votes?
I suppose so.
Good. I cast 100 votes for Miss Margaret Albright.
Margie!
Miss Albright would make a wonderful president for the company. Everybody knows that women are the best businessmen. Everybody except my father, that is.
Margie!
Besides, it's time for a change. I think it would be good to see a little new blood around here.
Margie, now listen. If Mr. Honeywell doesn't get elected, the only new blood you'll see around here will be mine.
So vote for Margie Albright.
Miss Albright, you don't stand a chance. I'll give you $10 a share for your stock.
I'll give you 12.
15.
You're wasting your time. You can't buy my daughter's stock. You conniver.
Don't call me a conniver, you old donkey.
Don't you call my father an old donkey.
Order, order.
Dad, you can stop worrying about the election. You can have my stock.
I can? What do you want for it?
What you could have had it for all the time. Just put your arm around me and tell me I'm your little girl.
Oh, honey, well, you'll always be my little girl. My little Margie.
How do you like that? The old donkey came through.
Freddie before I went to the meeting and told him to meet us at home for dinner.
Good. You know, Margie, you didn't really have me fooled for a minute. I knew you'd never hold out on your dad.
You knew it all the time, huh?
Oh, sure, but I can promise you one thing. After today, I'll never say anything about your business ability again.
Well, you'd better not.
Turn on the light. Switch must be broken.
No, it isn't. Our electricity's been shut off. I forgot to pay the bill.
Well, don't worry about it. We'll have dinner by candlelight. What are you going to cook?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I just remembered. I forgot to pay the gas bill, too.
Oh, forget it, honey. I'll just call up and have them fix things in the morning.
Dad.
The phone, too?
The phone, too.
Margie!
Dad, you just promised me something.
So I did, but... Well, we can't see, we can't cook, and we can't phone. Well, let's sit down.
Hey, not on my lap.
What? Who are you?
Your landlord. You know your rent hasn't been paid for 3 months.
For 3 months? Margie!
My Little Margie is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.